Welcome to the Goldenrod Podcast. I'm Ben. As always, I'm joined by fellow Pokemon enthusiast Connor to bring you some of the latest and greatest Pokemon news and a few laughs along the way. This week, we're discussing Niantic's new player customization options in Pokemon Go and why players are complaining. We're also discussing not one, but two DMCA takedowns and whether we will continue to see more in the future. And we'll also be discussing Pokemon Legends Z-A and what ancestors and returning characters we can expect. See, as always, you can jump to a topic using the timestamps in the description below. I must admit, I'm quite impressed. I got through that without like tumbling over myself, which feels like a long time since I did that.
You've nailed it. It's obviously a simpler intro this week. There's not quite as much going on. Not to say this is going to be a shorter podcast. This might be a bit of a ranty one.
Do you reckon?
I think so. I think okay, I'm ready okay. for it anyway.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this. Should we start with Pokemon Go then?
Yeah, let's go with the easy ones.
Let's start with Pokemon Go, which I became aware that they were rolling out some player customization options. I saw this on Reddit and I was so excited because I thought, you know, 8-9 years on, I was stuck with that default spiky hair that doesn't look like me. I've never known anybody to have that style of hair outside of...
Not since the 90s.
Not outside of video games or anime. So when I saw these customization options, I was over the moon. But what I saw on Reddit was just snippets of, oh, look at this, look at this. I was like, okay, I'll wait. So on March the 18th, Niantic started to roll out visual test for the style shops. And then this went live on the 21st of March. So in terms of if you don't play on Pokemon Go, if you've not played for quite a while, what it allows you to do is it allows you to change your body proportions, skin tone, and your hairstyle and hair color. Now, unlike most other games that would probably give you, yeah, how many hair customization options would you give, you know, to try and please the majority of players, knowing that there are what, 8 billion people in the world?
I mean, you've got to limit it somewhat. I think 10 to 15 is a good range. You will find something in there that will match you. And I'm on that thing of like both genders, no matter which one you pick, should be able to pick every single hairstyle. I think 10 to 15
okay.
probably
you can do that.
It.
Okay, you can do that. You can, it doesn't matter your gender, you can choose whatever hairstyle you want. And, you know, that's perfect. You can choose whatever skin tone that you want. And you can choose, you know, any color you want. It's quite good that at the
you
bottom
say
it's got like
any skin tone. Is that from like a RGB layout? Because why is
sorry.
Isn't it?
No, that's hair. So I'm on this now. So in terms of hairstyles, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 hairstyles.
Okay.
And I couldn't find one that fits me and my hair. So I had to go with the closest one. In terms of colors, it's not even got an RGB pick here. So just so I can show you and people on YouTube, you know, you get to see me on Pokemon Go. That's what you get. You get a preset selection of hair colors. Now, if I go into the skin tone, which is, I always forget, oh yeah, there's only 5 face styles as well. Mm-hmm. None of them suit me whatsoever. Eyes are one of those, nope, again, you have to select one of the colors, predetermined colors. Body styles, you can probably see that just a little bit there at the bottom.
Hang on, show me your character because you look really long and gangly. What is going on?
What's going
right.
on character?
All right, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad when it came into focus. Looked really long and stretched out.
There's no height slider either, so you can't even choose your height. The bodies, there aren't a lot. Pro tip for anyone, because I wasn't happy with any of the body styles. They all seem to be either, you know, typically you either stick thin or you are really stocky. There's a little custom button. If you go on there, it gives you a couple of sliders that you can move around and change. All that sounds like there's enough customization and depth for the majority of players, I'd say. I'm not happy with it. I know others online are not happy with it for two main reasons. One, it allows you some customization, but it doesn't go into the depth you would probably expect of a game where you should be able to, you know, your avatar is your character. You should be able to customize that to a greater degree than they give you. The main reason that players are unhappy about this, though, is that it doesn't look like they've just taken the base character models they've had for the last 8-9 years and gone, here's a few new customization options. It looks like they've rolled out new character models that just throw out any of the body proportions that you have. So hips are pretty much gone now, both for male and female characters. And I think that is what the majority of people seem to be... Actually, you know what? And graphics. The graphics, I've seen people compare this to PS2. Do I think it's that bad? I don't think it is. But I will admit that by trying to give more customization options, they've done something to make them less human. They look very... They look more fake than they ever have done. And I'm just wondering why. So I've got two questions for Niantic at this point. One is, why is it taking you so long to roll this out? And I think I know the answer to that. And the second thing is, why have you rolled out something that is worse than what we had before in terms of how they look?
So for people at home, I will have, if you're watching on YouTube, I will have uploaded a couple of pictures and thrown them up on the screen. To me, some of the redesigns, one of the issues I have is they seem to have truncated the chest. So the body proportions of the chest seems to have been made smaller, which makes the breasts on the female characters look bigger, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Weird, yep.
It's even more weird because the faces seem to have been rounded out. And the first thing that came to my mind is, have you watched the new live-action Avatar?
I am watching it at the moment. Are you going to talk about...
The girls from the Fire Nation. I think all of them. Like, great casting. I think that show does great casting across the board.
Mm.
But the girls don't look like their characters because they are young females and they are rounder in proportion than the drawn art.
Yeah.
And that's what this reminds me of, is they just look rounder.
Yeah.
And again, if it's to make them look younger, I get it. I think the angles they're kind of looking at, they're looking up, which is not a good angle.
Which if you've
got a round
help.
Face, don't look up. There's a reason this camera like points down at me. So that's not helping. But yeah, to then go, right, we've rounded the face out to make them look younger and then made their chest looks bigger. Let's not do that.
Nope. Just really straight. So to go back to one of my comments that I made about why now? Why 8 or 9 years on? And I think it's simply down to, it feels like Niantic was never... They launched this not realizing how successful and how popular it was going to be. So in order to continue to capture this player base and to prevent players moving away from it, instead of doing little things like this, they implemented features that would encourage you to return, such as the daily tasks, the battle arena, revamping the gyms, implementing raids, Team Rocket. Like, they've implemented things to keep you returning to that base game, which hopefully means that you are spending money. This is a free update. That's probably why it's taken so long, because they have just been, you know, constantly bringing out new revisions of this game with new features, that this has just been on the back foot for so long.
I think we should be at a point now where character customization is just, it's a drag and drop. It's been done so many times across so many different platforms and games and things like that. How is there not just a character customization sliders drag and drop into my game?
I don't know. And the annoying thing is that, like, this builds on your point about, you know, they are, you know, so many games now have them. They aren't new. So how can Niantic look at what they've implemented, knowing that there are hundreds, if not more, of character customization options than other games and go, oh, this is good enough.
You know their argument's going to be, well, it's a mobile game.
I don't care. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that to me isn't good enough. Like, if anything, if it's a mobile game which is more easily accessible than, you know, other games that need a console or a PC, like, everyone's got a smartphone. Everyone can download this and play it. Like, that to me, I just think that's a terrible... It's just an excuse. It's not a reason. It's an excuse. Just because it's on mobile. And I think this goes back to, like, those old arguments that I always used to have with friends and family of, yeah, you're playing video games on your phone. You're not a real gamer. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter what you're playing on. If I want to dig out my old Sega Mega Drive, which can do less than most smartphone games can do, does that make me less of a gamer? No, of course not. Like, it doesn't matter what console or device you're playing on. You're still a gamer. And you should expect certain levels of quality. I'm hoping that this is just something that they've thrown out. They'll get the feedback and then they'll improve it over time. Because I must admit, I'm not happy with how the designs looked. And while there was less customization previously, at least when you were looking at playlist and seeing them in the raids and stuff like that, at least they weren't jarring Uncanny Valley style designs that these new ones are, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's...
It's strange.
Would you have preferred them just not to do it?
At this point, yes. Because, like, it's been that long. I was just used to my character, which, for the most part, other than the hair, I was happy with the design. All they needed to do to start with is go, let's throw in some hair options. Let's throw in some hair options with an RGB slider. And I think that would have pleased the majority of players.
Tell you what, talking about mobile games that have good character customization. Pokemon Unite. Pokemon Unite nails it.
Yeah.
And it's got so much customization across the board. And realistically, you're from the same series. You are trying to emulate a similar style across the board. Unite is what everybody should be aiming for. I think Unite, realistically, is what mainline Pokemon games should be aiming for. Like, we should still be able to customize our characters and our Pokemon. Really. Really.
Yeah.
In mainline games. But yeah, it's not great. But what have Pokemon Go done recently that we did like?
You know what? For someone that does play quite often, because my daughter also plays it, they have implemented some features that I enjoy that I know other players don't. So, Roots and Party Play. I have heard, if you just consume your media through Reddit, you would be under the assumption that everyone hates those. I actually think they're two of the best features that they've implemented. The Party Play is fantastic for when me and my daughter go out and play and catch, and we can support one another and we both get boosts. And the Roots, like, the majority of the time, if I'm walking somewhere, I'm playing on Pokemon Go anyway. And a lot of the time, I'm finding routes that go from, oh, it's the, you know, close to the bottom of my street that takes me to the local shop. Well, it's fine. I get to go a minute or two out of my way to follow this route to potentially get, you know, extra items for a walk that I was going to do anyway. I think that, you know, Niantic is always kind of, they, like any company, they will be looking at, okay, who spends the most money and where do they spend that money? Okay, let's implement features around that, i.e. the raids and the egg hatching. So, you know, the fact that they have delivered other things outside of that, you know, we do have to give them some credit. But yeah, Pokemon Go is a strange one. I feel like there's no middle ground. Either you really enjoy it for what it is, or you just think, no, it's not for me. And that's absolutely fine. If it's not for you, that's absolutely fine. I just feel like there's no middle ground with Pokemon Go, it seems.
No. I mean, I don't play it.
No.
I don't play it. So every time this comes up, I'm like, How bad is it? You'll have to tell me.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next piece of news this week. Following what seems to be a regular occurrence on the podcast now about DMC takedowns of various things. We'll start with the one that I don't think surprised anybody. So the Nintendo Switch Suyu emulator has been taken offline following a DMCA takedown. This follows a recent news a few weeks back that Yuzu was taken down following a lawsuit from Nintendo, which ended in a nearly $2.5 million lawsuit. Now, from what I've read, which isn't a lot, but from what I've read here, is that the developers of Suyu were very keen to stress that this emulator project was firmly anti-piracy and was only to be used with legitimately backed up Switch ROMs. However, the code for this came from GitHub, and it was a fork from the original Yuzu code.
Yeah, because the Yuzu code was open source. We said this when we talked about Yuzu being taken down, that it was an open source program. The code is freely available to everyone, and it could quite easily be emulated and rebuilt again. That's what they've tried to do. They went, somebody has gone, there's an issue, because obviously Yuzu allowed piracy. As long as we say we don't allow piracy, we'll be fine. No. As we explained in the Yuzu takedown, the problem is part of the code gets around Nintendo's copyright procedures. That's what's not allowed. So unless you can somehow build an emulator that doesn't do that, by the way, you can't. It just doesn't work. It's not going to happen.
No. Which, even if they did do that, even if they were anti-piracy, let's be honest with you, this was going to get shut down because Nintendo, Pokemon Company, whoever it is, they can't, like you've said previously, they have to be able to defend their what's the word I'm looking for here? Content, whatever it is, their intellectual
their IP.
Property.
Yeah.
IP. They can't shut down one and then another one pops up and goes, no, we're okay. And they go, okay, that's fine. Because that just opens them up to then basically making it clear that, oh, as long as you go about it a certain way, it's okay. And let's be honest with you, I think if Nintendo had the option, they would just shut down all emulators, regardless of whether or not there is any law breaking or rule bending. They would just shut them down because they do see it as piracy.
See, the thing is, I think these guys shot themselves in the foot as well by outright saying, oh, we're using Yuzu's code. It's like, guys, that's the code that's the issue. It's the code that's the issue. If you had just come out and said, oh, we've built a new emulator, somebody at Game Freak, somebody at Nintendo, somebody at the Pokemon Company would have had to get a hold of the emulator, download it, go through it with a fine-tooth comb, break apart the code, and then go, oh, no, there it is. There's the issue. Yeah, flag it up. Which may not have taken them much time because they know what they're looking for now. I mean, I'm not being funny. The lawyers probably have that strip of code, copy and paste it into a document and go, yeah, if we just copy this, Control F. Yeah, basically. So it wouldn't have taken long, but it would have taken longer than them going, oh, you said you use the same code, the code that's illegal, and we have a lawsuit that says it's illegal? Okay, bye.
I'm not even mad about this because I'm just disappointed. Not in whoever took this down, but the people that thought, no, we could do this. Yeah, let's do this. Like, come on, it ain't happening. Now, it does raise one question. There is, as far as I'm aware, one other Nintendo Switch emulator by the name of I think Ryujinx.
Yep.
I'm wondering how long before that is taken down. I haven't done the research to find out what separates it from Yuzu.
So my understanding is, and again, this is a limited understanding, it's been a long time since I've tried to emulate anything on Switch, there were things that just didn't run on Ryujin, which is why Yuzu was more popular. So
right.
It may be that some of their code is not getting around that specific copyright, I don't know. I'm not a developer. I am not an emulator developer. I'm not a game developer. I couldn't look at the code and tell you. It is gibberish to me, unfortunately. But you're right. Ryujin has not been touched yet. So there is still an option out there.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because as we discussed when we spoke about Yuzu getting taken down, it was very clear that it was because they allowed you to get around piracy protection software or code or whatever it is they put in those specific games, which is why they were able to list several games. If this other emulator doesn't allow you to do that, then what grounds do they have to take it down? It'd be interesting to see what happens with that, and obviously what happens to older emulators as well. You know, we've got the Game Boy Advance emulators and DS emulators that are still readily available. Makes you wonder if eventually they're going to be taken down. But again, older games, do they have that level of protection in place? Probably not.
Yes, I think there's a level of it. Again, it's more about, are you getting around copyright? In which case you are. I think the reason Nintendo hit Yuzu so hard was the fallout from, I was going to say Twilight Princess, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And again, it was newsworthy. Tears of the Kingdom leaks early. People can play it on Yuzu. That was enough for them to go, right, get the boys in. Sort them out.
Get the boys. The boys.
having a look, again, just doing a quick Reddit search, there are people saying that the codes that are required to get around the copyright, basically, they need to decrypt the games. So if you don't know what crypting is, essentially the game is a jumbled mess, and you will have a key, usually a product key, that comes in and can unscramble it for you. That has to be done on launch, and therefore you kind of need that product key decryptor in there in order to play any game. So by the sounds of it, any emulator is liable to be hit next.
And, you know, I thought, you know, looking back on previous episodes, we have discussed, oh, okay, is this it now, or are we going to see more and more happening? And I think it was within less than 24 hours after we recorded the last episode that we saw these two things come through as well. Mm-hmm. I think that whoever it is, Pokemon Company, Nintendo, they will be keeping an eye on this, because they, to create such a strong statement by taking down Yuzu, they can't then be seen to just go, that was done and dusted. We're just gonna leave you to it for a bit longer and just see what happens. Which is probably why they then went after Relic Castle. So should we move on to the next part?
Yeah, this is a little dirtier, and it's a little harder to defend them on this one.
Yeah.
I think.
So the headline I've got here is one that I found, that Pokemon fan game repository taken down by reported DMCA note. This is Relic Castle, which only today I found out featured hundreds of fan-made Pokemon games. Up until today, all I'd read about is that apparently it was a Pokemon forum that was 10 years old, that was a forum that allowed people to discuss basically making fan-made Pokemon games. I've got a quote here that I'll read out just to set the scene from Relic Castle. Dear Pokemon fan game community, it is with a heavy heart that I announce that the Relic Castle website has been taken down following a DMCA takedown notice. Relic Castle has always been a non-profit, ad-free, tight-knit community, and we pride ourselves on what we have achieved. Members have felt at home, made friends, and even careers with us. It is with deep regret that I inform you that the forum part of the community, which was to turn 10 years old this year, has had to come to an end. With over 20,000 members and 65,000 posts, Relic Castle was a home to many. The Discord server is not going anywhere, and the site is still visible as an archive in the Wayback Machine. Thank you for being with us the last decade. And there's a lot of, you know, thanking and stuff like that I'm not going to go into. As with the previous one, it's not clear who issued the DMCA takedown notice or the specific reason that was given.
So I do have that information, actually.
Do you, Ace?
So it was not directly the Pokemon Company International that sent the DMCA. It was a third party who are authorized by them to hand out DMCAs on their behalf. The DMCA was on the entire site for using unauthorized copies of copyrighted material. Yeah. And I'm just reading here on Nintendo Life as well. So a bit of history for Relic Castle. Relic Castle was founded in 2014 as a way to share and discuss Pokemon fan games amongst the community. These games were never hosted on Relic Castle itself, with the forum instead serving as a hub for links to other third-party websites such as Mediafire. Now, I've been on like Reddit servers and things like that that have to do with fan games and emulated games and things like that. And they are strict on, you do not share links here. We do not do that. Go find them yourself. You can talk about them. You can talk about your experience with the game. You can have all that fun, but you do not share links here. And Relic Castle was the place where you found links, which again, when it comes to downloading anything from the internet, I think there should be a trustworthy location where you can get links. Otherwise, people are going to download some dodgy stuff and it's going to ruin their time. This is such a touchy subject.
See, you're coming from that from a consumer's perspective. Mm-hmm. But from a company perspective, if I built a game, if I sold that game, I would be absolutely livid if that game was available on a safe website that had no ads, that was just like, oh, you want to download this game? Here's the link.
No, because they're not sharing links to ROMs. They're sharing links to patches and mods that change the ROM you already have to a fan-made game.
That's different then.
Yeah.
Because that original copy is not lost. It's not like how to explain this? Like,
there's nothing illegitimate about modding your own game.
No.
Okay. And this is where I get really irate with the Pokemon Company, where they have decided that emulation is stealing. Now, I understand we went over it and like, oh, well, to emulate a game, you have to decrypt it, and that's getting around their copyright, blah, 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 blah. Sure, fine. We can have that discussion if you want to. But there are legitimate, legal ways to have a ROM of your own game. Whether you emulate or not, whether the emulator gets around copyright, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. There are legal ways to possess your own ROM. There are legal reasons to possess your own ROM. For archival, for backup, whatever the case may be. As long as I have a physical copy of the game,
I
have dumped the files and created my own ROM, there is nothing wrong with that. And Nintendo do not agree with that. And that's their prerogative. They're allowed to not agree. But this is a fight that's coming, and people aren't aware of the fact that this is going to change how games are stored forever. We're going to lose an entire history of gaming archival if Nintendo get their way. Because owning a ROM of your own game shouldn't be illegal. And to put things in place where they're going to start taking down even just people going, oh, well, I modded my game. No, you're not allowed to. Go away! It's my game! I'm allowed to do whatever the one... I paid you my money. I got the product. I will do with it what I want. You do not get to tell me how to use my product. And sure, within the terms of service, but realistically, I mean, we're even approaching a point where terms of service aren't enforceable anymore because everybody knows that nobody reads them.
Yeah.
Sorry. I told you I was going to get ranty.
Yeah, you got really ranty there, and I love it. I absolutely love it. So, just a few things then. I'm going to try and remember what I was thinking as you were rightly kicking off. Like the gaming sphere is trying to move to digital only. Like it's no secret within the gaming community that Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, they want to move to digital only. And the reason they want to do that is that it gives them more control, yeah, ultimately. Oh, you've got that video game? Well, just at a drop of that hat, we can take that video game away from the store. It has happened. We've seen video games and DLC taken down from a store. Even though you've paid for them, you can't access them anymore. Because the way these gaming companies want it to be is, oh no, you're not paying to own this game, you're basically paying to license this game, to rent, yep, this game, and we can take that away from you at any point. And that is why backups are required, in my opinion. Otherwise you risk companies going, oh, that little piece of history, this video game that you loved as a child, that you loved growing up, oh yeah, that's not available anymore, we're going to take it away from everyone.
Well, even it could even be a case of, oh yeah, you can still download it, but the servers don't exist anymore, so you can't play any of the online content. And remember when Yuzu went down, Citra went with it, right? How many times have we used Citra's online capability to battle each other to trade amongst our emulated games, right?
Yeah.
And the reason we do that is because, A, it was easier with my modded copy of the game, which is my game, I'll mod it if I want. But at some point, those servers are going to go down. The 3DS, yeah, store has gone down. Like, we know this is coming. We know this is not going to be supported forever. So what? Online capabilities for those games are just gone? You're not allowed to play them anymore? A fraction of what you paid for is no longer part of that game. Oh, but we don't want you to have the game for free anymore. We don't want to make it available for you to buy at a discounted price. You've actually got to pay more now to go buy a secondhand copy for less of a game than you got when it came out.
Yeah, which Nintendo don't see a penny of secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm just going to throw this out there as well. I have done Scarlet and Violet content on my channel that is done via an emulator because it allows me to mod it in a way that I can't do on a legitimate console and legitimate version of the game. Some people might go, you're in the wrong there. You are absolutely 100% in the wrong. I already paid for the game. I own the game. I paid full price for the game. It doesn't matter if I'm playing the legitimate physical copy or if I'm doing it on the emulator. I already own the Switch. Like, Nintendo aren't losing out. I'm not stealing any money or any content because I've already bought that copy. So why should Nintendo be able to come down and go, oh, no, can't play it on an emulator?
Now, there's an argument. If you were to create a ROM of the game and then sell your copy, but you haven't, you still, mm-hmm, have the official version. There's an argument of, well, you might be doing things in a modded version of the game that's going to affect people who are playing the official version. We're not doing that. And you know what? There's a lot easier ways to make that happen than, yeah, modding a ROM. Fan games are not what's introducing these PokeDownload.com Pokemon that are all over the trades and things like that. I'm sorry. I'm going to calm down a little bit.
That's the other thing about fan-made games. Like, let's say, you know, I have played several fan-made games in the past, some of which I think are actually better than what Pokemon have put out.
Mm-hmm.
Me playing these fan-made games isn't me stealing from Pokemon. They're something completely different. I'm not there in a shop going, Pokemon Scarlet or a fan-made game online made by fans. Like, they are two completely different things. Anyone that is discovering fan-made games have already discovered the official Pokemon games and paid for them.
And what's amazing, right, is the fact that there are so many people who have been brought back to the franchise by, exactly, seeing these fan-made games on YouTube, online, playing through them and going, oh my God, I forgot how much I loved Pokemon.
Yeah.
Do I want to necessarily play the latest games? No, they're not scratching that itch for me. I will get my copy of whatever ROM I'm going to have so that I am making my own legal copy of it, and then I will mod it to hell and play it how I want to play it because the fan games give me a better experience. But what they're going to do is they're going to go, I'm into Pokemon. I'm going to buy my merch. I'm going to watch the show again.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting money back into the franchise that way.
No, you're absolutely right.
They're shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, exactly. And that was me. I took a step away from Pokemon in Generation 4, and then I remember just on YouTube, and I ended up discovering two YouTubers that did versus content in Red and Blue that was randomized, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious, and it blew me away that, oh my God, I can actually like randomize this. It looks so fun and chaotic, which is down my street. And you know what I went and did after watching their series? I bought a 3DS. I bought Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. I bought Pokemon X. I then went on to buy Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I then went on to buy a Nintendo Switch. I then went on to buy... Yeah, like, all because somebody somewhere had gone, we can emulate and randomize a game that you can't buy firsthand anymore. You cannot get it. Like, in what chain of events there does Nintendo go, oh, they're in the wrong? I'm sorry, you've just ended up convincing one person to spend... How much have I spent there? All the Nintendo Switch games. All the Nintendo Switch Pokemon games. Nintendo Switch, 3DS. What, a grand?
Let's not mention, maybe? As I say, all the merch. I'm going to EUIC merch again this year. This is now my third time going to a Pokemon event. Never would have happened. Never would have happened. Like, don't get me wrong, I've always loved Pokemon, but I fell off the series hard.
Yep. Yep. I think we would be having a very different conversation if it had been, okay, Yuzu got shut down because, 48 hours before Pokemon Scarlet and Violet was released, somebody leaked that code and you could play it. I think we'd be having a very different conversation. Again, there's a conversation to be had there because, if it came out 24 hours before, 48 hours before, and I could play it, but I was already going to buy the physical copy and I went out and bought the physical copy, what harm has been done there? Mm. None. But I will admit that I'm not everybody. Some people, going back to that Tears of the Kingdom, some people will have gone, oh, I don't need to buy it now. I can just get the emulated version. And I agree that is...
That's a problem.
That is a problem. Theft is probably the wrong word, but that is a problem. And that's something that I will stand against. I think that piracy is wrong, but not all piracy is wrong, if that makes sense. And the legal definition of piracy.
There's levels to it.
Yes, and it's not black and white.
There is a very fine line to walk. And as I say, if I could have a digital copy of my games as well to store, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No.
We've said it over and over and over again. Piracy happens when it becomes too hard for people to access them. Because it's actually, there's been statistics that show people who pirate games are those who spend the most on games. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Because, a lot of the stuff that they're pirating isn't necessarily a cost issue. It's an access issue.
Well, that's exactly the thing. Go on.
No, you finish that thought because I'm going to change up the subject slightly. I'm going to go on the attack.
Right. just to touch on that, there's a reason why when Netflix came out, piracy just dropped.
Yep.
Because it wasn't a cost issue. It was a ease of access issue. Wait, I can pay $4.99 and access thousands of TV shows and movies. Sign me up. There's a reason Steam does so well. There's a reason why. And I bet if you're listening to this, you probably have at least one game in your Steam library that you've paid for and never played. I've got about 10. And it's because it's just ease of access. It's just Steam's dead simple. And you know what Steam also does really well? It allows you to mod the games. Like Steam is a legitimate way to get those games, and then you can go ahead and mod them. Mm-hmm. Are the developers losing out? No. Because people then modding those games and playing those games, Steam's still calculating all that watch time and that play time and going, oh, wow, people really like this. People are still leaving positive reviews, you know? And then when the next game is released by that developer, of course Steam has that data. Steam is going to push you that latest game when you go onto their store, and you're going to go, actually, yeah, I got loads of hours out of that last game. I'm going to buy the new one. I'm going to do it. Like, I'm sorry, but piracy isn't black and white. It isn't either good or bad. There is elements within the middle, and those elements in the middle are the parts where consumers and businesses will differ on their opinion, ultimately. And I think that when things are challenged in that middle ground, no one wins, unfortunately.
So I think the community has shot themselves in the foot by referring to fan games and ROM hacks as such. Mm. They're mods.
Yes.
They should be mods. Whether you want to call them an overhaul mod or not, fine. You do you. Do you know how many Minecraft mods are out there? Nobody plays vanilla Minecraft anymore.
No.
Nobody plays Skyrim. These games wouldn't still exist if it wasn't for the mods that are installed. But nobody calls them ROM hacks. Nobody calls... You're not hacking the game. And you're not hacking any Pokemon game that you put this mod pack onto. It's just somebody who's gone, hey, I've got a cool idea to make your experience different and allow you to play it again. But Nintendo may well be within their right, as far as you're concerned, to say, hey, that's our content. You don't get to take our content and use it for your own purposes. They would be within their right to say that if they didn't do it themselves. Twice they've been caught. One was using a freaking emulator that they ripped from online so that they could run their game on one of the stores. I can't remember the Wii store or the Switch store, but they just took an emulator from online because it was too much like hard work for them to build their own version of it. But they'll shut it down. They'll be like, you're not allowed to do that, but give me all the code that you've spent weeks and months working on. And not okay. Really, really not okay. And the second one, they got caught recently stealing music from a fan artist.
No, really?
In one of their latest trailers.
That's not even something you can do by accident.
No, this is a creator who goes by the name ND Music, right? Takes Pokemon music and does their own version of it, does a cover of it. Now, if you think that's not okay, fight me. I don't even care, right? I have seen, you know, there are people who are very much respected by Nintendo and the Pokemon company who do fan music. Glitch X City, I saw her at Worlds year before. She had a press pass, which you can only get if you go through Nintendo. So Nintendo know exactly who she is and went, yeah, we'll allow you to represent us and give your view on us. So Nintendo are okay with fan music. Why is fan music okay and fan games not? I guess fan games are, you have to use the code, whereas fan music, you're using your own instrumentation, and there's a whole bunch of music theory that goes into it. Not the point. My point is, they straight up stole it. There was no credit given. There was no money that changed hands. They went, you did your own rendition of our music? That's ours now. Now, even as a YouTuber, I know that's not okay. I know that there are There are songs and bits of music that are in the YouTube music library that is completely free to use.
Mm-hmm.
But only that version of it. Only that rendition of it. Only that, I forget the actual word, that composition. Only that version of it is free to use. You can go out and make your own version of it free. That's fine. You know, a lot of these songs and things like that are out of copyright now. They're within the public domain, so they're fine to use. But if an artist creates their own version of it and uploads it, that's not free to use. That's theirs. That's their composition. You're not allowed to take that. And Nintendo did. Game Freak did. The Pokemon Company did. So this is why I get so wound up, because they're drawing lines in the sand that they're not even following.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to play, oh, well, it's a gray area, you don't get to come down and go, no, it's black and white when it suits you. I have this thing in my head, right? You know those kind of people who, I play a lot of board games, and there were people, I am what is referred to as a rules lawyer, because okay, I come down hard and I'm like, no, these are the rules. This is how it plays out.
Yeah.
But I always put it to the table of like, okay, this is what it says. How are we interpreting that? Okay, let's go forward. Let's go forward. We have come to a conclusion as to what the ruling is. We're going to use that going forward. And there are some people who will rule it one way one time and one way another time because it benefits them. And it winds me up to no extent, and that's what Nintendo is doing. They're going, oh, well, the rules are a little bit gray here, so we're allowed to get away with it. But when it comes to you, no, it's not gray at all. We know exactly. Rules is written, rules is intended. You can't sway back and forth across that line. And that's why I'm annoyed.
I can completely understand. And just to go back to one of the comments you made about, you know, Pokemon, the Pokemon community has shot themselves in the foot by the way they name these ROM hacks. Like, ROM hacks is just a term that I know, but you're absolutely right that implies that they've done something to that original ROM. Whereas a mod, the word mod is just, oh no, we don't touch what's there. We just kind of add something to it. And I know that typically it means that code is changed in some way.
Yeah, they're modifying it.
But they're modifying it, yeah. And I feel like, you know, the question is, though, do we think, let's say overnight, we as a community went, you know what, no, we're changing everything. It's called mods. We're calling them mods. Everywhere they're called mods. It changed everywhere overnight. Let's just imagine. Do you think that would make any difference to Nintendo or the Pokemon Company? I don't think it would.
Of course it would. I don't care how much of a PR blast you put out there. Nintendo and the Pokemon Company just have this all in their sights now. And they've got more money behind them. We won't win this fight.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting few more months, I think. We've said this before. Oh, it'll probably go quiet for a bit. Probably won't. It will probably come back next week and have something else.
But the thing is, we're bringing it back to Relic Castle. You need to understand, these are just people posting links to where you can find it. These are just people who were talking about it. There are creators out there, creators who you know and love, who play these games, have hours and hours of content on their channel, playing these modified games, playing these ROM hacks, whatever you want to call them. What makes them safe? Why would Nintendo not go after them? And the thing is, you might say, oh, well, that's different. It's not.
Let's be honest. They are, the way they're going about this isn't random. It's not like, oh, we just stumble upon this, we'll take them down. It's let's just pick the fights that we can win. That's exactly what this is, unfortunately. It's the, okay, where can we just get an easy win, and we know we're going to win, and therefore, hopefully, it will stop other people from doing something. And you know what really annoys me, actually, thinking about this? Like, Relic Castle is a forum that has links to other sites. Why aren't you going after the sites that they're hosted on, rather than the sites that, like, Relic Castle that link out?
The reality of that situation is because those sites will be held in a far-off jurisdiction where nobody can touch them. Because they're file-sharing sites, and they will move where they're based every 5 minutes so that you can never track them down.
Yeah.
Fan sites aren't that complex because they didn't feel they had to be, because they're not hiding. They're not trying to skirt around the law. They're just trying to provide a service for fans of Pokemon who want it.
Well, this is the thing. Like, it says that they've got 20,000 members. That's 20,000 members that you have just peeved off.
And that's members. That's people who post, not necessarily everybody who reads it.
Yeah. Like, come on. Anyway, let's move on to some positive things, shall we? Yeah.
Is there positive
things? There is. We're moving on to questions and comments. So we'll start with the first question, which is dead simple, that has been asked. And I haven't written your name. I'm ever so sorry. Are you guys going to review the New Horizons anime like you did with Journeys? You answer that while I find the name, because I want to give you a shout out.
The sad reality of that situation is probably not. Because it was a lot of time commitment between myself and Ben. We are adults with our own lives. Ben even has a child and a wife to look after. So it's not feasible. I will still watch it. I will watch it in my own time. But dedicating myself to three episodes every single week became a lot. And the other part of it is, as much as it's great that you really love that section and you want it to come back, the analytics show otherwise, that the vast majority of people just shut off.
Yeah,
because people weren't watching along with us. So it was either a case of, oh, I'm behind you, I don't want spoilers, or I'm not watching this, I have no interest in what you're saying, or, oh, yeah, I've seen it, I don't really care. I'd love
it's
to. It was good fun talking about it every week, but it's not feasible.
No. And for me, you've nailed. So first of all, Ivory Aspen, thank you so much for the question. Really appreciate it. And unfortunately, it wasn't just, oh, watch three episodes and talk about it. You had to take notes, which meant that sometimes you'd pause and then you'd have to go back and go, oh, did I miss something? Did I hear that right? It wasn't just a really quick, you know, oh, quick watch and then let's talk about it, because otherwise then you miss things. And I'm one of them that I like to come prepared with notes and then I know what I'm talking about. I mentioned to Connor before we started recording that Journeys, for me, was a great way to kind of go, okay, I used to watch the anime as a kid. Like, where is it at now? And knowing that Ash's story was going to be wrapped up, or it was, you know, when we first started doing that, it wasn't confirmed, but it was hinted at. And I remember us having discussion and both of us falling on the side of, no, Ash is going to stick around. Like, he's like the recurring character. The anime is going to be gone forever with Ash. To be proven wrong and then Ash to wrap it up just felt like a nice step, you know, a point to step off and go, okay, I might not have watched all the middle, but I've seen his beginning and I've seen his end, and that's enough. I do want to watch Horizons. I really do, but I just can't commit to the time commitment, unfortunately. It's just such a shame, because from everything I've seen and heard, it's ticking
fun.
A lot of boxes. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Ask me again in another several months, and who knows, maybe I will have gotten around to it. All I will say is, if I do get around to it and you get around to it, Connor, maybe we just do a one-off episode, perhaps, but I don't want to make any promises.
Yeah. It's possible, but it's unlikely.
Yep.
Really glad you enjoyed that segment, though.
Yeah, me too. Let's move on to, we've had two questions of a very similar nature. So I'm going to read out Tony's first. So which ancestor would you like to see return in Pokemon Legends Z to A, and what significance could they have on the story? But then gym leader JC has also added, could we see another faller like Ingo? So a faller is somebody that we're assuming has fallen through time to come from present-day Pokemon to past-day Pokemon.
So we've had three up to this point that I'm aware of. Technically four if you count your character within Legends Arceus.
Who are the other two?
So you had Ingo from Legends Arceus. Looker in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. You find him on the island at the end. And he doesn't know where he is or how he got there, and he's lost his memory.
What?
Yep.
How have I did I not know this?
And in Sun and Moon, you have, I think it's Annabelle's her name, who is walking around with Looker. And she is originally from Emerald, I believe. She's from the, what's the postgame in Emerald called?
Why is that? Delta.
No, in Emerald.
No.
The island that you go to.
Oh, I can't remember.
Not the Battle Tower, the Battle Frontier. There you go.
Okay.
Annabelle was from the Battle Frontier. And in Sun and Moon, she fell through an ultra wormhole and ended up in Alola and lost her memory and knew not where she was. Fallers. That's what we've come to know them as.
Wow. That's something I've learned today. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. So there is history of more than what I thought it was just one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your main character is as well. So let's start with that then. Do you think this is something that's going to be a returning element for Legends game?
I think it allows a way to introduce modern characters into a past time. So I think it's mm-hmm. a very cool concept. I think they've done really well up till now. Like, none of these are main story people. They're all post-game yeah. characters. So maybe you see, and it'd be a real deep cut, Misty's boyfriend.
Who just had a... They were in it for what?
Yeah, for a half a second in like
yeah.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver in the post-game. You scare him off. Try and think who else. Post-game characters... Oh, see, it's so hard because most of the recent games don't really have a post game.
So I'm also of the mindset that you want somebody who has had some prominence in a game, but is likely only been in a scene or two.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a primary or secondary character because I feel like that, unfortunately, it opens up more questions. Like Ingo appearing is just kind of, oh, okay, he's there, he's in the past. But most people didn't know he was even in Pokemon Black and White, did they? Until he'd started doing, maybe I'm just speaking from my experience, being my bias. But it was only then that I was like, okay, who's this guy? And then I looked it up, I was like, wait, what? He's from present day universe? So we probably want somebody who's been lurking in the background that hasn't done a lot. And then has appeared, who also isn't necessarily linked to the generation they were introduced in, because Ingo was Generation 5 and then went to technically a Gen 4 game in Hisui. Do you think, you know who I could potentially see?
Uh-huh.
One of the teachers, maybe, out of Scarlet and Violet?
I think it's too close. I could see it happening, okay. But I think it's too close.
Okay. Go on.
Go on. I've got a couple of ideas that I think okay. could be good. Because there is another theory of a possible fifth faller as well in Legends Arceus. Okay. Have you heard the theory that the ancient hero is actually just Alder?
No.
So there was a theory put out that because you see pictures of the ancient hero, or who we assume to be the ancient hero, in both the Diamond Clan and the Pearl Clans, and it is either an ancestor of Alder, or there is a theory that it's just Alder.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I have seen that image before.
Because,
that,
of course,
that, I mean,
Alder is one of the only people... Like, we know that the ancient hero used 10 Pokemon. And Alder is one of the only people who has been seen with 10 Pokeballs wrapped around him at all times.
Okay, I like that.
So there's that fun.
I like
fun.
That a lot.
So you could maybe take that a step further and have the follower in this one be Benga, who is Alder's grandson.
Okay.
So that's a post-game character. Or, and this is a really deep cut, is it Ryuji? Oh, what's his name? Ryuki, there you go. Ryuki. He is from Gen 7, so Sun and Moon. He's a post-game character.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen.
Who's very, very interesting looking, and has never really been explored at all.
I didn't even know this person existed.
No, most people don't, which is why it'd be such a cool deep cut. For them to go like, oh, yeah, I showed up here. I have no idea where I am or what I'm doing.
Oh, I feel like those two answers are going to be way better than anything I can pull out. You know what? You know what I'd like to see, maybe, okay, is I'm trying to think on, like, Game Freak never really, other than the core story structure, they don't typically repeat things. Like, the rivals, every game, the rivals are different characteristics and mannerisms, and it's the same with the professors. Like, they all have that same core element of, oh, I'm Pokemon Professor, but they all have different personalities. They always tend to, okay, how can we bring elements through that we've done before, but change it? And, you know, we mentioned about the fallers that we had. Maybe the way they do it differently this time is, instead of it being like one main faller that you come across and then the others are kind of out there, maybe it's a group. Maybe it's a group of people that have fallen. Mm-hmm. Could we see potentially the Kimono Girls? Could we potentially see... who are the other characters in X and Y that didn't get a lot of love at the time? They dress up Evelyn, Morgan, Donna, and Nita.
Oh yeah, the women from it.
Yeah, I don't even know where you encounter
the
them
girls
in the game.
Is what I
the
know
hat
them
girls.
As.
Yeah, like yeah.
Which again, I only really know because of the Pokemon cards.
Yeah, outside of that, I don't know when they appear in X. And oh, you actually in the battle maze on. Okay, that explains why I've never come across them then, because I've never done that element. I just, by that point in the game, I remember going, okay, I've done X and Y, I'm on to the next one now. Yeah, I could see them coming through. That'd be quite a nice element of not just one, but four. And they know they've got a bond with them. That bond has survived, but they can't tell you how they know one another, why they've appeared. Like, I could see that happening, and you could then tie that in with, okay, they in the past have this bond and enjoy battling, so they create the past version of the battle maze on
mm-hmm.
before it gets relocated, perhaps as part of the redesign of the area. Because it's yeah. The battle maze on's on the outskirts of Lumiose City, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's off one of the routes you've come off.
Yeah, it's that big strait that runs across the river
with the waterfront. Yes. So actually, that could work, because that's on the outskirts of Lumiose City. So maybe that's something we could.
Yeah, they're all sisters. So if they're all sisters, it also offers up the ability to have an ancestor. So you could have maybe a bunch of brothers who are all fancy dressed and in big top hats.
Okay, yeah.
That could be fun. Yeah. Other ancestors I want to see is the two professor's assistants who are superheroes and they're in their part time.
Oh, they are,
because they are so heavily tied to Zygarde, and were clearly supposed to be part of Zygarde's story, because in Sun and Moon, they're the one who give you the Zygarde capture cell thing.
Yes.
The Zygarde core. Oh. So I think an ancestor for one of them or both of them would be good to have as a, oh, okay, this is how we tie it to Zygarde's into the story.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Dexio's one of them. Okay. Hey. Oh, I didn't realize they're in Sun and Moon because they're not wearing the outfit.
Nope.
Like, why would they wear the outfit? They wouldn't. I do like that superhero element, though. Okay, yeah.
So those are the ones I've got off the top of my head. Hey, buddy,
I've potentially got an ancestor. I don't think this is too close to the main game to be a faller. And I've never known his name. I've always known him as the Mega Master or whatever, Karina's granddad.
Yes.
He's apparently called Gherkin, which news to me. He's called Gherkin with his weird eyebrows. I could see an ancestor of him or Karina.
Well, it would technically be an ancestor of both of them, wouldn't
it? Both. Yeah, I could see that, because then you've still got that
tie to Mega Evolution.
I think that's probably a home run. I think that's one that, out of all the ones we've listed, I think that is probably the safest bet.
Yeah, it becomes a family legacy, a family job, effectively, is to understand Mega Evolution.
Yeah. Love that a lot. Okay, let's talk about other ancestors then. Who else do we think from X and Y? Because that's where all, from Legends Arceus, all the ancestors were from people that were in...
Ish, we had, again, pictures of Archie and Maxie, were the original founders of the Diamond and Pearl clan.
Oh, yes.
there was the ancestor for... because Commander Kamado was the Diamond and Pearl professor ancestor, wasn't he?
Oh, he was Rowan's.
Rowan, yeah, he was Rowan's ancestor. Yeah. Was Commander Kamado?
Okay, yeah.
We technically then saw, you know, we've had what's his name, Adaman's distant relative has now showed up. Which is
they
interesting.
Have, yes.
I would actually, in that vein, if we've had Adaman's descendant, I would love to see... It's not far enough in the future to have a descendant of Irida.
Is it not?
Not really.
Because they're quite close together, aren't they, despite...
Relatively so. They're both about sort of 200 odd years ago.
Okay.
Maybe there's like 50 years between them.
Which you could make it work, but I think that, you know, Game Freak doesn't like to be nailed down to times. Like, the fact that, you know, it's quite clear that where Gen 2 takes place after Gen 1 is a rarity, because for the most part, they only ever hint at things taking place concurrently or in the past or in the future. Other characters I could potentially see. Wickstrom, an ancestor of a Wickstrom, simply because he's quite old-fashioned medieval style. That could be something that...
Yeah, you have to assume he's inherited that castle.
Yes.
So maybe there's even a plot point of you help somebody reclaim the castle or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what, actually? Another one. The main character from X and Y, their ancestor, mainly because... Rhyhorn Racing was so heavily hinted at in X and Y, we never saw it. We never saw it. So potentially we will get the ancestor of your main character. I'm not quite sure how they do that, because your main character, you get to choose the gender.
And you're not so from Kalos.
You're not, are you?
No.
Oh, maybe not then. Maybe we're not getting that. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Could you move to Kalos, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think we have to bring up this character, AZ. I don't think we'll get... They're not a faller. They're not an ancestor. We don't see an ancestor. I think we will just get AZ at some point.
Yeah, you're not going to have an ancestor of AZ, because he's thousands of years before this is taking place.
What is it, 3,000 years the ultimate weapon was fired?
I believe so, yes.
Like, yeah, AZ's just in this game in general, which is going to be really weird to say. I still don't get his height. It's so weird. Like, it's just so, like, can I just point out, like, how weird this is, that I can overlook the fact that he has lived 3,000 years and it was an ultimate weapon. It's the height thing that I have an issue with. Because it just feels like you wouldn't know someone's 3,000 years old. You'd know someone's like 10 foot. You'd be like, hold on, something's a little bit off with this guy. Like,
thing is, I don't think there's a reference to his height being of that
changed.
when he was sort of a king. So there's the possibility that he kept growing. So his hair and his height just kept growing. But that's not how people work.
No.
Like, I've stopped growing. I stopped growing like 10 years ago. So that would be interesting. It also, his height does bring up questions, because I'm still on the thing that I still think that Kogita was within the blast radius, but not hit directly by the ultimate weapon. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown. Okay. Unknown why he's so tall. He's just a big boy.
Just a big, big, tanky boy. I haven't got anyone else that I can think of that bits better than those that we've already discussed. Have you?
Will we see an ancestor of Cynthia? Not Cynthia. Wrong.
Dianthe.
Dianthe. Yes.
You
discuss you that topic. I got to let the dog out.
Oh, okay. He's not even going to be able to hear this. So I don't think we'll get an ancestor of Dianthe. And the reason why is because Cynthia was such a well-loved and popular Pokemon character, whereas Dianthe just gets a little bit overlooked. There's a reason why when people craft their, you know, who are the best Elite Four champions, who are the most memorable, Dianthe, despite having a good team, despite having a unique team in terms of using Pokemon that no one really thinks about, and having a design that is obviously, you know, her design has been created to kind of go, look at this popular person, like, look at her. She looks popular, she looks interesting, and yet despite all of that, you know, she gets lumped with Geeta, unfortunately. So I don't think we're going to see Dianthe, unfortunately. I could see. Oh, Connor's back. Yay, because I ran out of things to say. It's fine, we don't need to do a cut. I was just saying, I don't think we're going to get an ancestor Dianthe because Cynthia and Dianthe are on different tiers. Cynthia's someone like, oh, we love Cynthia. Dianthe's just a... There's a reason she's so low in any kind of tier list in terms of champions.
I mean, she's only really good next to... What's the latest one's
Geeta.
Name? Geeta, that's it. Yeah. I was on Gourgeist and I don't know why. Yeah, Geeta.
She uses a Gourgeist. Maybe that's why. Yeah,
why
I don't think
we're
getting it.
Anyway.
I don't know. I don't think we're getting Dianthe. You know what? I think we could see an ancestor of Trevor. And the only reason why, no one cares about Trevor. Trevor's the guy with red hair.
Yeah, Trevor and Tierno are the other mates.
But the reason why I think we could get an ancestor of Trevor is because it's an easily distinguished hairstyle that allows people to speculate on, oh, are they an ancestor of Trevor or Lysander? And we kind of saw that with some of the others. If it's just the hair color, it's like, oh, the hair color gives it away. So I think there might be a little nod to one of those characters.
So the other thing as well, we saw a lot of ancestors in Hisui. Because obviously Hisui is very close to the other Japanese regions. Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, Sinnoh, obviously. Could we perhaps see more Galarian ancestors?
We haven't even
more
spoken,
ancestors.
Yeah.
No, Galarian ancestors from obviously Paldea, these more European countries.
You know what I'd like to see, and they wouldn't because he's too big of a character in Galar, is
Leon.
Rose.
Oh,
no,
Rose.
And the reason why is Rose could come back. He's lost his memories. He doesn't know what he did in Galar, and it'd be interesting to see like how that plays out in terms of, okay, you've stripped him of what happened. Does he make the same mistakes again with Zygarde, perhaps, or does he go down a different route? And, you know, he's got that business acumen. Let's be honest with you. If you are developing a city, you need someone with that caliber and that skill, which is why he could, like, fit quite nicely into that story.
I'll tell you what. Maybe not Rose, if you're talking about a faller. I could see an ancestor for them.
Okay,
but if you're going to go for a faller, I would rather it be... What's his brother's name?
Oh, I always forget... I need to replay that DLC.
Peony.
Peony. However you pronounce
it. I could see a Peony being a faller because, okay. A, you've got the thing of, oh, I've fallen the wrong side of a legendary Pokemon again.
Yeah.
Which would just be hilarious after you got abused by Calyrex. But it would also be such a kick in the teeth because we now know that he's got two daughters and a wife that he would have left behind and forgotten.
Oh.
And you could quite easily see him creating some kind of like father-son, father-daughter relationship with you as the main character. And this idea of like, oh, I feel like I'm trying to replace something, but I don't know what.
That's heartbreaking.
Exactly. No, that's heartbreaking. Make Peony the faller.
Oh, that would be heartbreaking. And I think that is, while I would love those story elements to play out in terms of, you know, either of those characters, I think there's a great story you could tell there that doesn't just repeat what's come before. It's like a new way to flesh out those characters. I feel that that's the exact reason why they won't be Fallers, because I feel like Fallers have to be someone that you could pluck from the timeline and then not really talk about it, because we're still not sure if Ingo made it back. I don't think he did he?
No.
No, so it's got to be characters that you can pluck and put them back in the past and then go, okay, we don't need to discuss what happened after. We don't need to discuss the implications on the timeline. And I feel like those two would open up so many avenues of, wait, hold on, if they've been plucked from the past, like what happened to modern day Galar?
Because we also don't necessarily know where these people are coming from, whether it's the same timeline, whether it's a different timeline.
Yes.
Time travel rules are weird within the Pokemon world.
Time travel and multiverse. Time travel's the weirdest one because there are different Pokemon that time travel in different ways. It's like,
yeah,
most
Celebi, Dialga, Arceus, and now technically, words are failing me so hard today. Terapagos.
The Terapagos.
All have the ability to time travel.
Yeah.
And they all do it differently.
Yeah. Unlike any other, Pokemon is weird because any other movie or TV show will go, these are our rules for time travel. You know, whether or not it's, you know, predestined, whatever happened has already happened, or you can change the future, or, you know, Avengers style, it's a different timeline. Game Freak just kind of went, oh, why not all of them? It's just a Pokemon company was like, why not all of them? Let's just do it. So I don't know. So I think that we have settled on quite a few there that I would like to see, because of the implications that come from bringing in those characters.
Yeah, there isn't a great deal of characters in the post game of Galar that I can think of.
Oh, Shielbit and Swordworth.
Could you imagine? Those are the people that have taken over Wickstrom Ancestor's castle.
Have they got similar hair?
No, they've got really different hair. One looks like a shield and the other one looks like a sword.
yes. Okay. Yeah, but Wickstrom's the armor.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
I think, I think we've settled on it's going to be someone from the later games with, you know, for the fall, someone in the later games that has a role to play in their original game, but not so much that they would be missed by pulling them out of that time stream or multiverse, whatever rules they want to do. But I think we've got quite a few there. Any others that you want to add?
No, I think I've rattled off plenty.
Fantastic. I guess then that is the show for this week. If you've gotten this far, you're just a top dollar, aren't you? Before you go, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. And if you're watching on YouTube, then please leave a like. And if you're not already subscribed, then please do so, as it really helps out our podcast. If you've got a comment or question, you can reach us by leaving a comment on our podcast on YouTube, by emailing goldenrodpod@gmail.com, by leaving it on our Discord channel, or by using the hashtag goldenrodpod on Twitter. Connor, where can we find you?
You can find me on my YouTube channel at Captain Fidget, or on Twitter at Captain Fidget.
I'm Ben. You can find me as Professor Hoenn Gaming on YouTube and Professor Hoenn on Twitter. We'll be back next Friday for another week of Pokemon podcast content.
See ya!